Amen, Pete. Now, didn't Adam and Summer do a good job? Amen. Nice having them up there. Nice having them up there. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. And I pray you just be our teacher this morning. And that, Lord, that you would just open our eyes and hearts to the things that you're doing. And so we just give thanks to you. And I pray you would just anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit. And I pray that each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we just thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Looking at Daniel chapter 3. We're going through the book of Daniel. And look at 3, start off with Daniel 3, verse 1. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth was 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylonia. Every time I read a verse like this and people come together, I just kind of snicker to myself. It's like you look at this, you go, who cares? I mean, Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, made an image. I got better things to do. You know, I'm trying to pay the mortgage and keep the kids, and you're talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Well, it is an introduction, so we'll unfold this. It really has some good points here that we can make application. And when you look at this situation, it really is one of where we can grab some encouragement. We know we have this time in where Nebuchadnezzar is the world leader, if you will, at this time. And if you remember from the previous chapter, God gave him a vision, a dream. And Nebuchadnezzar, this Gentile, unbelieving king, had a dream of this statue. And what happened is Daniel, the Jewish man in captivity, comes and he interprets to Nebuchadnezzar what the dream of this statue means. And the dream is basically of the future. It's a dream that comes even to us today. It's a dream of that Daniel interprets to Nebuchadnezzar. And so it's an incredible thing that happened in chapter 2. And so in that vision, this statue has a head of gold. And in Daniel 2, verse 37 through 38, basically Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of gold. You're the head of gold. So it takes it from Nebuchadnezzar's time down throughout history. Just fascinating. And so he reveals this to Nebuchadnezzar, all right? Now, Nebuchadnezzar is impressed with this, okay? He's impressed with this. He's impressed with Daniel, and he's impressed that Daniel can interpret this dream. So he thinks, man, this is something else, and that God has revealed this thing of the future to him. Great. So that's chapter 2. So what does Nebuchadnezzar do in chapter 3? He builds a statue. I'm going to build this sucker. I'm going to build it. And this is on the head of gold. Says, I'm the head of gold. I'm making the whole thing gold. I'm going to make the whole thing go. So he builds this statue that he dreamed, and he makes the whole thing go. Now, I don't know. That really spoke to me. And how many times does God reveal something to us and speak to us, and man just totally fouls it up? You know, he said, hey, man, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to reveal this to you, and here's the future. He said, wow, this is cool. I'm the head of gold. I'm just going to be the whole thing. I'm going to be the whole. He kind of missed the point. He just missed the point. So he makes this statue of gold. Now, not only does he do that, he goes, I want everybody to worship it. Okay, I don't know if you've ever talked to someone and you share something. Maybe you talk to your children and then they give you feedback and you go, they didn't hear nothing I said. They didn't hear a thing I said. Well, this is where God must have been going. Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't hear a thing I said. He totally off base. Not only he just made a statue and he's going to tell everybody to worship it. So this is what happened. Well, you can imagine that all these captive Jewish people at the time that are in his court, you got an issue. You know, one big thing about, you know, even the Jewish people then is you can't worship idols. You know, and so you know, right now you see it setting up, don't you? He's going to say, I built this thing. Go, I'm real happy with it. I'm going to have everybody worship. He's created a problem. And so, but anyway, it really is an interesting scenario that set up. Now, what I'd like to do is, before we talk about this, I'd like to read the whole account, because it's really fascinating. It's just fascinating. So we can read through. I mean, I'm sure some of you sat down with your children and have read through this. It really is an interesting account of something that actually happened. So to set things off, I'm going to read through this. And so here we have Nebuchadnezzar. He's built this statue. He says, I want everybody to worship it. Daniel chapter 3, verse 12. And we'll read the next several verses. And it says these guys come and they basically are tattling on the Jews. Okay. They say, hey, everybody's going to worship this statue. And say, these Jews aren't doing it. So they're going to tell them, you know, they're going to say, human nature hadn't changed. You know, just hadn't changed. I'm going to tell on them. Look, they are not worshiping. So we're going to tell Nebuchadnezzar that these people aren't worshiping his statue. So Daniel chapter 3, verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you've appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your guards or worship the golden image you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. We can get over this. Well and good. That's all you got to do. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And this is a great sentence. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Now, if you have your Bible or your iPad, or anything, you should underline that. Because that's what Nebuchadnezzar, he goes, and who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? The line in the sand has been drawn. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. I feel tension in the room. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury. And the expression on his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated up 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, they're tied up. This is important, no, they're bound hand and foot. And then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace was overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. It's so hot that the soldiers carrying out the duty died throwing them in. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound. They're bound up. They fell bound into the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar, I meant what I said. Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and arose up in haste. And he declared to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire? They answered and said, to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire. And they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. And no smell of fire was upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and has delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their God. Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb." You know, Nebuchadnezzar, he go one extreme. "I'm beating it up. I'm going to burn you all up. Oh, yeah, we're going to kill everybody else and tear them apart." I mean, he didn't sound like a guy that kind of the middle of the road guy. You know what I mean? So he said, if they say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they should be torn from limb to limb and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. And I never seen anything like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. All God's people said, amen. You know, always, and you know, there's an application here. He says, gosh, I wonder, just witness and God would know that God's here. You know, and you know, I think, yeah, he's in that business. He's in that business. You know, I want to sit over and have a cup of tea, cup of coffee, and, you know, gently share the gospel. You know, it usually, when it really happens, when the phooey hits the fan, and it's like, okay, now, this is God. But he needs somebody to stand up in that. And then when it backs up, it's like, oh my gosh, there's nobody but God that could have unfolded this. Nobody but God could put this together, you know. I mean, what miracle did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? What miracle did they do? They said, "King, I'm not worshiping your idol. I'm just not going to do it. We're going to burn you. We're going to throw you in the fire." Okay, I ain't worshiping your idol. That's all they did. Then God did a bunch. See, he needs just a couple of people to go, "I ain't worshiping your idol. I'm not going to do it." See, that's what he needs. So here we are. So we look at this account, which is just showing the majesty of God, showing the power of God, and how he works in this world. His capacity. And these things are for our benefit, therefore our edification, for us to understand this is the God who we serve. This is the God who loves us. Now, I wanted to bring out, well, I looked at this, and I was just thinking about just kind of three points. See, I listened last week. I said, you know, most people said that I just can't get past three, and I said, I'm going to give you six, but I led you up six. I've repented, and I'm only give you three this morning. Okay, just three. But here's what happens. And in this situation, what you're looking at is these people are being challenged, and I want to focus on this particular thing. They're being challenged on their faith. They're being challenged on who they stand for. They're being challenged on who they believe. It's going to the very heart of their belief system. You know what I mean? So, okay, I should have done this. I did this. This was wrong. Messed up. But no, this went to their belief system. They worship the God. You give me your heart. You give me your soul, you know, and you participate in this. And that's still true today. That's what the world's trying to do today, is get your heart and soul. You know, they're trying to get your kids' heart and soul and everything in function. Don't be surprised at what's happening. When you see all this stuff coming, there's one point, and you look at this, there's one consistency, and through all the perversion and stuff that's happening in the world today, one consistency, and you just watch, it's to destroy the family. That's a consistency. It's to destroy the family. That's what it's doing. You just look at the fine-tuning, the fine print of everything, of the evil that's happening. It is to destroy the family, because the foundation of what God does is through the family. Through the family. And so don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that that happens. So what you have to do is there has to be decisions before the Lord about standing before the Lord and doing what God has to say. So what we have here, the number one thing that we have to realize in this world as things come our way, character decisions will be required. Character decisions. Now, what I mean by character decision, I mean it's who you are to the depth of your soul. I'm going to make this decision. You know, it's like, whatever, I'll do this. You know, I could do this or I could do this. No, it's like you make a character decision. No, this is who I am. And therefore, I make this decision because this is who I am. It's more than a decision. It's a commitment of your whole mind and being. It's your character. It's who you are. Amen? So character decisions will be required. And you look at this, and you see this within in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And I'll go over this again. And you see this here. And it's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king. I mean, it says, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." Now, you know what they said? He's bringing them up. Says, "Okay, boys, worship my idol." And they're going, "King, we have no need to answer you in this matter." Meaning, you already know what the answer is. You know who we are. You know what the answer is going to be. That's why we have no need to answer you. You already know what we're going to say. See, that's what they were saying. So now, you know us, and you know what we're going to say. Because what? He knew their character. He's challenging their character, and they're going, "No, you know." Then they go on and say this. Now, he's saying, worship this image. He says, "If this be so," the second thing here, "if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace." And again, what you have here, there is a step of unwavering faith. Unwavering faith in the power of God. We know who God is. We've committed ourselves to God. And we know that the God whom we serve, see, there's a character thing, whom we serve, we're identified there. The God whom we serve will deliver us, is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. He can pull this off. God can pull this off. He is able. See? So they know. What is that? That's character. You can't move them because they know that God is able. And they're standing in that. "King, what are you asking this? You know who we are. King, God is able to deliver us. We know who we serve." And so you see the commitment and the character of these guys. And then it says this. And it says, "And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." Now, what I read in that, there was full assurance that they were going to be delivered in some form or another. He's going to deliver us. We know, no matter what. I mean, I think even in their mind, "Hey, you know, worst thing you do is kill us, and we have eternal life. So we're not worried. I mean, we're going to get delivered. We're going to get delivered. This is not, we're not tied to this so strong that you're scaring us with death, because death doesn't scare us. We know we're going to be delivered." And then you see them, they go and say this. Then they just put the big period, the big exclamation mark. "But I want you to know this, O king, be it known to you, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image you have set up." We're not going to do it. We will not. Hey, you should have known. God is able. He'll deliver us. But one, the bottom line, we will not bow down to this image. Now, it's a character decision. That's a character decision. Their face being thrown in the fiery furnace based on who I am, who we are, like that. That for them was an easy decision. because of who they knew who they were. But the fire, I don't know about the fire, but I know who I am. So you make a decision. You make a character decision based on who you are. And that's what life's about, and that's what Christianity's about. What's your character decision? But you're going to make your character decision based on what you believe. What you believe. In fact, some of these things will come up, and you'll find out what you believe. You'll find out what you believe. You'll say, I don't know. Just maybe a quick kneel, and I get out of here. You know, give a quick kneel to the statue, and we can slither on. I'm sure God will forgive me for that, you know. I probably will, but it's not a character issue. And, you know, I mentioned this before. I just love this guy because his name, Polycarp. Polycarp. How many of you have heard of Polycarp? You know, I love Polycarp. You know, just, can you imagine? Hun, what do you want to name the baby? Let's call him Polycarp. You know, anyway. But Polycarp, and he was in the early church, the very, very early church, the, you know, first couple of centuries, first century. And what happens, he's an old man. He's a big evangelist. And so he's recorded and he was fairly well known, but it's not in the Bible. It's outside the Bible, but he was just a saint, just a regular saint. And they took him before a governor and says, listen, and what the Romans would do and said, hey, you can worship anything you want to. We don't care what you worship. Just go ahead and worship. If you'll just bow down to Caesar too, okay? And everybody said, okay, we'll go along. We'll just add another God and bow down to him. Well, you care, you got the Christians. They go, I'm not doing it. We're not doing it. So Polycarp said, okay, and he says, he's an old man and says, bow down. He says, no, I'm not going to do it. And he says, come on, just bow. He says, no, I can't do it. I'm not doing this. And they didn't want to kill the guy, you know, but they said, so they took him before the governor. And this is recorded, you know, and they took him before the governor. And so it says, listen, he won't bow down. And so they talked and said, Polycarp started crying. And they said, why are you crying? And he says, I can just see the agony you're going to have burning in hell. You know, it's like, well, that's a way to just kind of, you know, win friends and influence people. Not only I'm not bowing down your image, but I just want you to know you're going to hell in this because I'm just hurting for you because you burn in hell, you know. See, those are character. Those are character statements. And it's just who I am. I can't help who I am based on who I believe God is. See, it's similar. And so that's what you have. But is in the church today, in Christianity, you look at the world and you look at there's a person, the only legally persecuted minority there is in the world is Christians. You know, I mean, we're fair game. You know, we don't make the news when they're persecuted or anything like that. Everybody else does. Well, why is that? Because there's an evilness that knows that Christians are a problem. There's a spiritual evilness that knows. And therefore, it's required for the Christians to stand up based on character decisions. You know, and you hear stuff like this, but, and, you know, there was a, I can't remember the gentleman who was telling it, but I'm sure you've heard similar stories in communist Russia. They come in, and of course, they would have those churches. They have churches in communist Russia, and they'd infiltrate them with, you know, communist people, and they could pick out the bad people, and you never who it was. You never, it was always this insecurity. And they said, soldiers came in and told everybody, says, if we're going to kill everybody here that worships Christ. He says, you're to leave. And he says, man, it's just, you know, like rats sinking a sinking ship, except a few people. A few people stayed. They shut the doors, and the soldiers worship Christ with those people. That's how you get rid of them. You're going to die for your faith. All right, I think I'll switch faith. I think I'll just switch a faith. You know, I just wouldn't, you know, those people are having more fun anyway. Yeah. But the character people will stay, okay, we'll die with it. And all throughout history, that's what has happened. You know, don't think you that now we have no good old 21st century, we're going to slither through and it's not going to happen to us. But we're going to be challenged, you know, and we're going to have to make character decisions based on who God is and who we believe he is. So this is why, so it applies today. It is going to be required that we make character decisions before the Lord. Us alone. You know, here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know where Daniel was. But I bet the guy goes, I wonder where Daniel is. We ought to talk to him. We're in trouble. Gosh, no, it doesn't make any difference what Daniel does. It's them. They make the decision before the Lord. And that's what it is, character decision. So number one, and that's where we all are. That's where we all are. Now, here's the other thing. Look at this overhead. You think, well, I'll do that and I'll miss the fiery furnace. No, you get thrown in. You get thrown in. No, the Nebuchadnezzar meant what he said. He meant what he said. He, oh, shucks, I just overreacted. No, he meant what he says. The world means what it says. And you will be thrown in to the fiery furnace. You will be thrown into that situation. And the world and Satan will fulfill their threat. They will fulfill their threat. And I want to, and let's look at this about being thrown into the fiery furnace. So he said, cast them in the fiery furnace. Remember, the soldiers that took them there died throwing them into the fiery furnace. It was so hot. But now Nebuchadnezzar sees something. He is stunned. Nebuchadnezzar is stunned at what he sees. Look at the overhead. Look at this overhead. You have the picture up there? Yeah. Look at the overhead. Count people. Count the people. See, I threw them in there. Nebuchadnezzar, I got rid of these. Look at this. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see four men bound walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like the Son of God's. Now, here's a little information, good footnote. This is what theologians call a pre-incarnate picture of Christ. That's Christ in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not an angel, it's Christ. It's a pre-incarnate picture of Christ. He's in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So, you will be thrown. In your lifetime, you will be thrown into the furnace. You will be thrown in, okay? Because you made a character stand. We'll make a character stand and we get out of this. No, you're going to make a character stand and you're going to get thrown into the fire. But the promise is that Christ will be in the fire with you. That's the promise. He'll be in the fire with you. Now, here's some kingdom insight. Some kingdom insight. Last week, we looked at the first three points was God moves, man moves, and then with the impossibility is the opportunity. Okay, that's what we talked about. So the impossible situation, then we see an opportunity. This one is not that way. What this is a movement of evil. This is a movement of evil to destroy you because of your faith. It's to destroy the faith. The purpose is to destroy the faith. And when that happens, there's nothing to do but to stand up to the evil. There's nothing to do but stand up to the evil. So you stand up to the evil. And when you stand up to the evil, your faith will be severely tested. Be severely tested. And how many times have we said we've been in a situation, the fiery furnace situation? Oh, we're doing the metaphorically, you know, just life fiery furnace. Oh, God, Lord, this is just, oh, Lord, how do I get out of this? This is, you know, God, where are you? Now, has that ever crossed your mind? Where are you? Okay. If it hadn't crossed your mind, it's crossed my mind. God, where are you? Well, this is where he is. He's in the fire with you. He's in the fire with you. You're not alone. He's in the fire with you. You have to be in the fire. You have to carry out the ministry in the fire. But he is in the fire with you. And that's such a lesson that we need to understand when we're going through that, when we're making a stand, we're in that fire. God is in the fire with us. He feels it. He understands. And he's walking through it with us. Huge. huge. You make a character decision, you'll be thrown into the fire, but he's with you. He's in the fire with you. Now, here's the third point. The furnace, this is when you're standing up against evil. This is when you're standing up on principle. We're a different approach than we were last week. You're standing before the Lord based on your convictions of your faith. And I mean convictions of your faith, not the foolishness of like whether we should have stained glass windows or not. Now, you know, we're talking about convictions of our belief and trusting in Christ. The furnace, when we're in the furnace produces freedom. The furnace produces freedom. Look at Daniel 3:27. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw, he called them out and they walked out. So Shadrach, Meshach, he said, come out. And so they just walked out of the furnace, you know. And so all these people are around and they saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. Their hair, the hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. And no smell of fire had come upon them. They didn't even smell like the fire. They had nothing. They had no impact on them. See what was meant for destruction and death produced freedom and life. Now, I'll take it to the end. Okay, you go up and throw it. And I think these guys knew. So, hey, we got killed in this situation. Well, you got freedom and life. Because we know in the Bible it says we go right in the presence of Christ. So we're in heaven and we're shouting the victory. You know, and then nobody breaking the door down to get back here. Okay, they're happy to be there. Now, so we know that is the truth. However, those extreme cases are true and people have died for their faith. But also people are severely challenged in job situations and all sorts of situations for standing for their faith. That have a tremendous impact on them. That are short of death, even though you feel like you're going to die. They're a little bit short of death. You have these situations where it's just coming upon you for just for doing the right thing. Now, here's what I want to show you. These guys, they walked out. And you can't smell fire on them. You can't smell it. Their hair's nothing on them. They walk out. Now, they walk out. Remember how they were thrown in? They were bound hand and foot. And they walked out. The only thing that got burned was the cords that bound them. That's the only thing that burned in that fire was the cords that bound them. That's the only thing that burns you in the furnace of affliction is the cords that bind you. You walk out of that furnace and you have a new look on life. You have a new approach to life. You look at everything a little different. Things don't bother you quite as much as they did before. You have a little more strength than you had before. And people say nasty things about you. It really don't make any difference anymore. You know, that almost rhymed. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? The cords. Only thing that burns in the furnace is the cords that bound you. Now, let's go back to the furnace. Back to the furnace. How pleasant was the furnace? I mean, you're dying. Where's God? But we know he's in there with you. I'm walking with you. I'm with you. I'm here. Hang in there. I'm here. And as he walks, and as you're able to walk out of that, you're walking out because the cords that bind you, have bound you, are burned away. They burned up. They cannot, the cords that bound you cannot withstand the flames. Only you can withstand the flames. Amen. Amen. So there is freedom on the other side of that. Now, see, this is where we got to grasp and understand, despite the reason, circumstances, or situation, God sifts all things through his hands, even the evil doing evil. It has to be an allowance by God. It sifts those. He sifts everything. God sifts everything through his hands. Therefore, kingdom instruction even comes through times of the fiery furnace. Even when evil is trying to do its worst, kingdom instruction comes through the fiery furnace. Yes, there are going to be difficulties, but Christ is in the fire with us. Look at this at Isaiah 48:10. Love this verse and the ones like it. In Isaiah 48:10, it says this, "Behold, I have refined you, not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction." How do you refine gold? You refine silver. Oh, it's just beautiful. It's refined in the fire. You're refined in the fire. So it's pure. Harder the fire, the purer the metal. See? And God says, I haven't done it like that. I've done it. I've tried you in the furnace of affliction to get the pure gold. I want the pure gold, so I'm going to turn the heat up. Got the pure gold. I'm with you. I'm in the fire with you. I'm with you. And if you hang in there, it's going to come out pure gold. And there's not anything going to be able to bind you. And you see in the New Testament, you see the same thing. And you see where the trials, but the fire only burn away those, the fire only burns away those things that hinder us. That hinder us, okay? Look at 1 Peter 6 and 7. Great. It says, you have been, so we're in the New Testament, okay? We've got the spiritual applications here. It says, you have been grieved by various trials. So that is a big circle. Oh, why am I going through this? Okay, circle so that. Okay, circle it. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, so that the tested genuineness of your faith may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Nebuchadnezzar, we have a physical picture where Nebuchadnezzar goes, what God is able to save like this? By the way, I'm going to kill anybody that says anything bad about him. See, who is able to save like this? What do we have now? No, your faith is being tested by these various trials. What? So that you will be the praise and the glory and the honor of Christ. So that. You know, I like it, you know, go by. I like, oh, Jesus loves me and, you know, we'll just go along and I'll go to heaven, you know. I don't want any more of this heat stuff. I kind of like where I am now, you know. Lord, you just made me this way and just, we'll just take it. You know, I'll suffer eternity just who I am, you know. God goes, no, I have so much more for you. Then he just turns up the heat, you know. And I said, God, I really don't want any more for me. You know, I don't want any, I know some people that you could turn up the heat on. I really want to see them grow. And just heat them up and I'll just stay here. You know, I'm happy. You know, I'm just be wonderful, you know, just to be the janitor in heaven. That's fine. I don't want much. What I don't want is pain. I don't want pain, right? Just in case you don't know, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. It does not work that way. And this is what you see in Peter and in these verses. Now, and so what you have is God, you see God working even when you stand up for good and evil just attacks. Christ is with you. Christ, and even in the evilness, he will bring you through it. He will bring you through it. And nothing will be destroyed but the binds that bound you. Now, there will be trials, but here's something we need to know. And this is really, really important, is that God has a personal interest in us. You know, this is something we've talked about. God loves everybody. You know, he loves the church. You know, I mean, he just loves the whole world, okay? No, he loves you. He loves you by name and calls you out by name. And the Bible says he calls you out by name. He loves you and he calls you out by name. He loves me and he calls me out by name. See, and that's his focus, is on us individually. It's the way he loves you. It's so hard sometimes you talk to people to get them to say it. God loves you. Why? Yeah, I know he loves everybody. That's not what I said. Say he loves you. He does. He loves everybody. No, he loves you. Some people have a hard time saying that. He loves me. He loves me. Now look at Psalms 106, 8, talking about God. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power. He goes, no, I got a vested interest in you. I love you, but I have a vested interest in you. Hey, you know, I'm all got, I got some investment in this on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love them. I'm going to take care of them. You know, I love them so much, we could just bring them home, be in heaven, and, you know, ever they'd be happy, I'd be happy. He says, no, but I'm invested in them, and through them, I'm going to save them for my name's sake. Because people are going to see them, and they say, oh, my, that's a mighty God. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, go, there's no God that can save like that. He had a vested interest in Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego that it's like that he had saved them for his name's sake. He works through us for a lot of things for his name's sake. You know, we talked about last week, we think we are the center of the universe, you know, and everything rotates around us. No, Christ is the center of the universe, and he uses us and works through us and shows his power through us for his name's sake. Amen? See, so it's your mindset, and he might make known his mighty power. See, we step out, and we're obedient to him. We love him. He loves us, and we step out. And say, okay, God, what are you going to do now? So we can see something big happen. Oh, wow, we're going to see something big happen because you're going to show yourself to the people. Oh, by the way, you're using me, and, you know, I just had to, you know, sit in the fiery furnace for a few days. But other than that, you know, that was the whole reason so I could be transparent enough for you to use me in this situation. Oh, he has a vested interest. Does that make sense? It's fascinating. So here we have today in these fiery trials of life that will surely come. It will surely come. And I was being a little facetious about, you know, so I want to do things to stay out of the fire, you know. I just want to let you know it doesn't work. You're going to be in the fire. You just might as well have a good attitude about it, okay? There's no going around and not going through the fire. You're going to go through the fire. And so it's how you deal with it. That's the question, how you deal with it. So there will surely be the fiery trials. And when we are cast, and this is important, when we are cast into our own fiery furnace, our own furnace of afflictions, we know. What do we know? Okay, when we're cast into our own furnace of affliction, we know this. Faith will require character decisions. What do you believe? What do you believe? It'll come out. It'll come out. And the other thing is that Christ is in the fire with us. Got to know that. It's like God says, I'm hurting with you. I'm hurting with you. I'm right here. I know what you feel. I'm hurting with you. But you got to go through it. You got to go through it. And to be who you are, to show the genuineness of your faith, to show the release power, but you've got to go through it, and I'm with you. I'm with you. Hang in there. I'm with you. See? And then what we find out, nothing burns but the cords that bound us. We'll come out on the other end. All right. We're different people. We're different people. You never become different people unless you're in the fire of the furnace. The fire of the furnace, and I mean for the good. It's the fire of the firmness that makes you take that step to be the person Christ wants you to be. Just a powerful set of verses. Now we want to, and here's the principle. When we look at this principle, and it's help us to understand, you put it with the message last week and this message, kind of understand the things that are happening, but you tie it in even to our salvation, and it makes sense when we understand how God is working. The most intense suffering that was ever experienced became an avenue for joy. The most intense suffering ever experienced became an avenue for joy. That's when Christ died for our sins. wasn't just the physical pain. He absorbed all sin, all the pain of sin, all our sin. He absorbed it. The intense suffering that Jesus suffered. And he did nothing wrong. He didn't do one thing wrong. He suffered innocently in our place. And what happens, an eternal life, we get eternal life with an intimate relationship with God. So the most intense suffering in the world was an avenue, a joy for us that we can have an intimate relationship with Christ. Principles the same. Why couldn't he say, okay, you guys have screwed up. You know? Now we'll just get rid of it and let's just go here and love, be nice. It doesn't work here. It don't work there. It's like, no, you guys have messed up and I am going to suffer all the pain. I'm going to suffer your fiery furnace. I'm going to suffer all your pain and I'm going to nail to the cross for your sin, your pain. I'm in your place and I take it all. I take it all. And now when we believe that and grasp that, then we believe, I trust in that. And we trust in it to depths of our soul that it transforms our character. If he died for me, I'll die for him. Our character changed. Our character changed. I'll do what he says. I want to do what he says. Anybody love me that much? I'll do what he says. I'll do what he says. Same principle. It's the same principle. And then here you have, oh my verse. Most favorite verse in the entire Bible. For our sakes, he made him to be sin. He became sin. Who knew no sin. How many of you said, but I didn't do anything wrong. I don't deserve this. Well, now you know how Jesus feels. Right? Except, I think, if you look and meditate a while, you figure out you did do some things wrong. But for our sake, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. He became our sin. Is, oh my God, he died for us in our place. He became sin and we became the righteousness of God with Christ's joy, with an intimate relationship for all eternity. And the Bible says we'll never die. Did you know it says that? It says we'll never die. But you, wait a minute. We lose this body. That's right, but we won't die. We just, our spirit leaves and goes to be with God. We just got to kind of just get up and go. We never die. We never die. I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. All right, I'll get delivered out of this one way or the other. I have to shed this mess and be with him. Or you'll do something else to reveal your glory. But I know whom I have believed. Whom I have believed. Amen. Amen. All God's people said? Amen. God is so interested in you specifically. And he's so interested, he will not leave you where you are. He will not leave you where you are. Our responsibility is don't quit. He's in the fire with us. He's in the fire with us. When we stand and we'll have, does Adam have a song? Adam and Summer have a song for us here? Let me, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for, Lord, I thank you that you show us the things in your word. As we look back at the things of Daniel and you give us a visual, a picture that we can see, a picture that we can understand, and then we can apply that today and use the terminology furnace of affliction, the things that we go through today, that you care for us, that you love us, and that you want to see great things through us. You've given us all things. You've taken all our sin and you've given us all your power and you just want us to love you and you're going to be our teacher. We pray that you've taught us something this morning that we can understand what's going around, that we can show your power and your glory because you are the God above. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't do a miracle. All they did says, we will not worship your image. And you did the miracle. So we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.